This is Matthew's 23rd chapter. And if we were to continue reading in that chapter, we would have a series of woe to you, Pharisees, woe to you, scribes. And he takes them basically to town, calling them to task because one of my favorite insults, woe to you, you are nothing more than whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside and full of corruption and death on the inside. And one might look at that and say, well, he had a hatred of the Pharisees. That's not true. And Jesus was calling them to task, calling them to conversion, because there's something here, and we hear it in today's first part of this passage. Do whatsoever they tell you, but don't follow their example. So it's kind of the do what I say and not what I do kind of thing. And Jesus is telling us that, or telling his hearers, that they have taken the seat of Moses, not a literal seat. There's not a chair that this was Moses' chair and those kind of things, but a seat in the same way that a college might have an endowed chair of the humanities, let's say, a place of a position, an office, a teaching office, that they have taken that chair and they continue on to preach and proclaim the truth and how to understand the covenant, how to understand the law, how to understand even the prophets. So do whatsoever they tell you, but don't follow their example. And he goes on and tells us this word only appears once in the scriptures, and that's phylactery. And the phylactery is a wooden box, usually, that a piece of the covenant where the Torah would have been put in, and they would have strapped it to their forehead because Moses said, bind it to your head and hold it close to your heart. They literally do that with straps. And so they'd widen that phylactery. They make it, you know, not just a little box, but a big box. And they lengthen their tassels. The tassels are their prayer shawls that they, even today, if you go to New York and various Hasidic parts of Israel and other parts of the world, you see them wearing the prayer shawls underneath their clothing, and their tassels are sticking out. And there's a reminder that God is a God of all four corners of the earth, and they gather those tassels in prayer. Well, they would lengthen it. The modern-day equivalent, and it's pretty horrible, but would be the example of somebody wearing a crucifix, and not just a little crucifix, but a big wall crucifix on their chest as they're walking around. Actually, Life Teen has a little video out, Obnoxious Abner, I believe it is, and one of the little skits, it's a wall-sized crucifix. That would be the equivalent. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. I'm so holy. I'm carrying this thing. They seek the marketplace greetings, the seats of honor in synagogues. It's not the presider's seat, but it's the front row. These are seats of honor. You know that, right? That's why everyone fights for the back seats, right? They fight. But Jesus is saying, look, what they're teaching is correct. But they're not living what they're teaching. They bind up heavy burdens on people too hard to carry and will not lift a finger to help them. There's a harshness about them. A harshness that they're not living up to the task that they're supposed to. And Jesus says to us, it's not to be so for us. And I'll do a little apologetics here. Jesus is hyperbole, that he's not saying don't call anyone father, because after all, Jesus himself says in one of the parable of the Lazarus and the rich man, Father Abraham. Nothing wrong with that, apparently. Or calling one's own biological father is not bad. But to be aware of who the true father is, the Father in heaven. So you know, some might look at us as the Catholics, and maybe you call me father, at least you call me father to me directly. I don't know what you call me behind closed doors, and I don't care. But that's not a violation of this. But to remember who the true father is, and that honor and glory comes and goes to God the Father alone. And the Pharisees have forgotten that. And they just simply do what is advantageous for them. But St. Paul gives us a stark contrast today. He says, when I was among you, I was gentle, like a nursing mother. There's some verses that are dropped out, and he uses another analogy, that I was like a father to you, instructing you in the way of righteousness. And that gentleness that St. Paul is, that I was so gentle among you, I did not even burden you. I worked for my keep. As St. Paul a number of times tells us he has done that, that he's not used his rights as an apostle. An apostle would have had the right to go into a town or city to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the good news, to proclaim the message. A rabbi would have had that same right to proclaim something and to be paid for that proclamation. St. Paul says, I did not do that. Rather, I was gentle among you, and I worked my keep. St. Paul did it by tent making, that he earned his keep so as to not burden them. He didn't use his rights, but rather in gentleness, he gave them up. That gentleness is something that is to be in all of us, too. And as we continue these last weeks, I've talked about the virtues that need to be present in the heart of a steward, and gentleness is one of those. And it might be hard to see how exactly is gentleness connected to stewardship. But it is about being meek and humble, and gentleness is connected to that, and the Greek words are very, very much related. To be meek and humble means to simply give because it's the right thing. And that gentleness begins with understanding that we ourselves sometimes need gentleness. We ourselves sometimes need the Lord to be gentle with us. And gentleness then is an expression of understanding that the Lord has been good to us and gentle with us, and so we are gentle with each other, with others. Another element of gentleness, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but an example of what stewardship is not, going back to that endowed chairs idea, I know of a number of people that are very generous. They have some wealth, and so they endow a chair, and the endowed chair of such and such, but so-and-so has endowed this chair. Or they donate money to a school or college or hospital or whatever and have the building or have the wing named after them. That's all fine and good, but that's not stewardship. That's donations, charities, various other things, but not stewardship, because stewardship is done in gentleness. It's done with no strings attached, that I give because it is my response to the Lord who is gentle with me. I give out of gentleness. As we come this day and continue to discern what it means to be gentle, what it means to be a steward, we ask the Lord to give us that kind of heart that gives, understanding who we are, that we are God's sons and daughters created in His image and likeness, that what we are is God's children, that He gives us everything that we need, He provides everything we have, and in gentleness to give to those who most need it. In this next week, we will have the DMA video. We already heard a little bit about that in our announcements. But this weekend, we kick off that DMA, and this week sometime, if you haven't already, you will receive information from the Diocese of New Ulm. And I think about all those good things that the diocese does with our donations to the Diocesan Ministries Appeal. All the good things that the diocese does just in general that aren't even sponsored. Vocations, the education of seminarians is no longer under the DMA. It's under another fund. When's the last time you've had to go and look for a priest? You know, the diocese provides that, assigns that. Our deacon formation, and we're blessed to have a deacon candidate here in our parish, Tony. That the diocese uses that DMA funds to educate those that want to serve the church as deacons. It's an expensive process, but one that is so good and blesses our parishes and our diocese so well. The help of the youth, social concerns, various other areas. When we give to the DMA, we're giving in as true stewards, because that money is going to where it needs to go, directed by the bishop and directed by those that in the finance office, of making sure the money is used wisely. The donations you make to our parish equally, that we use in gratitude on our parish staff and all who have use of those finances. Your gifts and gentleness that you make are so deeply, deeply appreciated. That's what it means to be a steward, to give again with no strings attached, to give because it is a response to the Lord who is gentle with us. the Lord who has taught us and given us everything we need.